me and a couple of college, we went out to the Nebraska-Northern Illinois football game. It was a good game. We actually ended up winning that one, so that's always good. But at halftime, they had a marching band there, and I remember especially the trumpets in the band who carried the melody there. Well, you could hear them crystal clear, even though we were way up in the stands, right? You could hear the melody of those trumpets just going out everywhere. Excuse me. They stood out. And even though we were quite a distance away, right, they were easy to pick out. Well, again, on Veterans Day, just a couple days ago, we had an assembly there at the school to honor the veterans that have served in the past and serving presently, even those that have given their lives. Well, at a part of that ceremony, the time we had there at the school, part of that, they played the taps. And all of us can remember sort of that chilling feeling we get of just taps being played and just crystal clear, right? You can hear it. And at one, it just rung out through the entire learning center there at the school is what we call that area. Or at funerals for servicemen, you can hear that resounding sound of the trumpet being played. Well, just like you can pick out the crystal clear trumpets from down at the football field, in the same way taps is played, honoring our heroes, like the sound that's going forth any everywhere, penetrating the still of a room or the calm of a day, resounding. It's going out for all to hear. And in that same way, believers are called to be resounding trumpets everywhere we go. People should notice us, not for because of who we are, but because of who is living inside of us, right? Believers are called to be resounding trumpets. So if you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 10, but we'll focus on verses 6 through 10 in our time this morning. And the words will be on the screen as well. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Verse 5, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Verse 9, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And I thought we would begin after our time of reading just with a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love your word. We want to listen to your word. We want to understand better who you are through your word. And Lord, just lead us into what you would have for us this morning. Lord, let you be glorified this morning and not me at all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, buzzing through the first five verses, just getting into verses 6 through 10. So the first five verses, Paul and his co-authors, Silvanus, Timothy, they say hi, they address the letter to the church, and they acknowledge that they were made the church by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is thankful, so this is verse 2 already, Paul is thankful to God always for the church in Thessalonica, and he's praying for them. And an important thing to note there, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mention you in our prayers, and even there's a lesson there to be reminded of thankfulness and prayerfulness for our brothers and sisters in the church. Paul approves of how their faith is working and their hope in Jesus. He affirms their calling. He affirms their calling that they are loved by God and chosen by God. The gospel came to them in word, verse 5 says this, and in the power of the Spirit. Basically, they didn't just hear the gospel, but they allowed the Spirit to come into their lives and transform them into a new creation. They didn't just hear the gospel, but allowed the Spirit to come transform their lives. Paul reminded them of the example that the leaders had shown to the people. He reminded them in verse 5, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. The example of Paul and the others, the end of verse 5, you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake, for your sake. And then we're getting into our main bulk of the text for today, verses 6 through 10. And the truth that I want us to be reminded of today, of many in this passage, is that believers are called to be resounding trumpets. Just like we remember the trumpets on the football field just going everywhere, like you can hear them crystal clear, if it's a good band. or the sound of taps just penetrating that room, or filling the cemetery at a funeral for a military serviceman or woman. But believers, just like that the trumpet fills everything, believers are called to be resounding trumpets. Well, that begs a question. Well, what melody should my life be making? What melody should my life be making to bring glory to God? Well, today we're going to look at three different melodies that we should be making as believers, among many, but these are three key ones that we find here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And the first of these is the melody of faith, the melody of faith. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8 says, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. Verse 8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. So this melody of faith, we see there right off the bat, is an imitated faith. We saw in verse 5 how Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, they had been a good example to the Thessalonian believers, and that the Thessalonian believers are imitating Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy as they are imitating Christ. That's always our goal, is to imitate Christ. So the melody of faith, well, it's an imitated faith, received through much affliction and with joy. And we talked about trials last week, and many of you are going through trials even as we speak. But the joy we're supposed to experience through that, and I'm praying for myself in just like, okay, when these trials come, how am I going to respond? Because I know they will come. I know they'll come. I know hurt will come. I know pain will come. So how do I respond when that does happen? And that's what I remember, and many of you are experiencing that even now, the pain, but also I pray the joy through trials. The Thessalonians received the word from Paul and Silas, and it was not easy for them through affliction. You see, and if you want to write it down, Acts 17 is where we see this account we are told of the gospel first being presented to the Thessalonians. And Paul reasoned with the people of the town, and some of them saw the truth that he was the Messiah, he was Jesus, that this gospel they were presenting, and some of them saw that, and they accepted it, well, and some of them did not. Many of them did accept this truth, and the word in Acts 17:3, we see the message that they accepted. Paul says there, Luke records it there, Acts 17:3, explaining and proving, this is what Paul and Silas were doing, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. They believed in the truth that this Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. And this is just a reminder for us, if anyone here has not accepted Jesus as the Christ, the only Savior, the only remedy for sin, for death, for eternal death, the only one that can give you freedom from your sins and grant you eternal life, is Jesus. And I encourage you to do that right now, to respond, to believe in what God has done for you through Jesus. And it's not a fancy prayer or feeling like, say this, say that. It is a heart response of belief in what Jesus has done for you. It's coming to God in humility and accepting God's gift for what it is, a gift. It's a gift. A gift to be accepted by faith. There is no way that our lives can be a resounding melody for God. There's no way we can make a melody of faith in our lives if we haven't even experienced what God has for us in salvation. There is no way our lives can be a resounding melody for Christ if we're not even in Christ. If we do not have our faith in Christ, there is no end goal in our minds. There is no hope in our life. We can't have any melody for God if we do not have a melody of faith. In the Acts 17 passage, we see the Thessalonian acceptance of the word through affliction. In 1 Thessalonians, we see how the Thessalonians had accepted the truth and were living the truth, just as Paul was and just as Christ did on this earth. And what else we see at the end of verse 6? That they did it with joy, right? They did it with joy. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, the end of that verse says, "With the joy of the Holy Spirit." A joy given by the Holy Spirit, and only possible through the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. If we're just thinking about ourselves and about whatever pain or struggle we're going through, it's impossible to have joy. But if we have our hope fixed in eternity on, okay, God's got this, God has a plan through this to grow me in this, then it's possible to have joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Thessalonians were living like Christ. We see that our melody of faith should be an imitated faith. And as we look at verses 7 and 8, we see that our faith should be an exemplary faith. Verses 7 through 8. "So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere." Everywhere. So we need not say anything. It's an exemplary faith in their own region, in other regions, and everywhere. In Callaway, in Oconto, in Broken Bow, in Arnold, wherever you're at, it's gone forth everywhere. Wherever you're at, you are shining the light of Christ. That is what Paul is commending these Thessalonians for doing, and that is what we should be striving to do as well. The Thessalonians' faith was exemplary. If we were to look at that map of the region, we see the Thessalonians, it was in the area of modern-day Greece or so. And then at that time, northern Greece was in the region of Macedonia. So they're all sort of connected. Macedonia, Achaia, they're neighbors. They were being a good example to the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, the southern region of Achaia, or that would be modern day like southern Greece, so Greece area around there. And this is in line with what Paul shared in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So we see how Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, they were examples to the Thessalonians, and then how the Thessalonians were then examples to those around them, not just in their home little town, but wherever they went. At my school in Kansas, so Smith Center, Kansas, they were known for their football team. They, at least when I was going to school there, for 5 years straight, they hadn't lost a single game. And the towns around us, well, they would respect the football program right there. They would respect the football team. All the kids in grade school, they looked up to the football team, collect trading cards, come to all the games. Communities from down the road respected the football program at Smith Center. The team was an example to those in their own region and the region around them. Everyone wanted to have a little piece of the success that Smith Center was experiencing in football. Well, in an even more important way, we should be an example to our community and to the communities around us of what faith should look like, what a trust in God and what He is doing should look like. In verse 8, we see most clearly the picture of the resounding trumpet. The words rang out, or in my translation, sounded forth, carry the idea of a trumpet whose melody is filling the entire area. And we've talked about that and what that looks like. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so we need not say anything. And me mentioning the Smith Center, Kansas football team, you probably haven't heard of them at all. It probably doesn't mean much to you. We're quite a ways off here in Nebraska from Smith Center. But it makes this passage even more convicting that our faith, well, it should go forth everywhere. It should go forth everywhere. How are we doing that? Well, we get a little bit of that taste in our mouths when we're sending Christmas child boxes overseas, right, to the world. Like, that is a way we can share our faith everywhere around the world, and we're connected more than ever through technology to the world, and we can share with the world more than ever through technology the grace, God's grace, the gospel. There's so many opportunities we have through technology, or even just in our town, our neighbors, we can communicate with them. We can be doing that. So it makes this passage even more convicting when we think of it going around the world. That's what the Thessalonians were doing. Everyone had heard of the Thessalonians, it seems, here in this passage. How is this accomplished? How do we go forth everywhere? We've talked about that. It's not accomplished by one individual. It's a task given to the entire church, not just to Pastor Dean, not just to myself, not just to the elders, the leaders in the church, but it's a task to everyone, to everyone. Believers are called to be resounding trumpets. We should be resounding the melody of faith through our imitation of Christ and others that have come before us. We should be a resounding example of faith. The melody of faith is of utmost importance because without the melody of faith, we're not going to experience or be sounding out these other melodies we're going to talk about here in a moment. The melody of faith is of utmost importance because from it flow all of the other melodies that we should be making. Believers are called to be resounding trumpets by making the melody of faith and by allowing the melody of transformation. That it's God that changes us, right? It's God that works in us. It's God that prompts us. It's God that helps to grow us by allowing in our lives the melody of transformation to take place. This is a life-altering transformation. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. 1, verse 9. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. The second half we'll look at first, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The faith in a believer's life should be characterized by a melody of life-altering transformation. The people in Thessalonica, they were worshiping a variety of Greek gods, and as I studied this, There's this, the main god of Thessalonica was this god Kabiris, and he was known as the martyr god. They claimed that he was slain and he would come back from the dead to deliver the Thessalonians. Does that sound a little bit familiar to us as believers? We know that this is what Jesus did, but that's sort of who they put their trust in, this god Kabiris. So if we're imagining now that we're that Thessalonian man, woman, kid, we are there. And you've always been taught, okay, Kabiris, he's going to come in your time of need. He's going to come. And maybe that time of need came and went, like you really needed something, you really needed this or that to happen, you needed it, but it just didn't come. Now, if you or I were in that situation, that would sort of be disappointing, right? Because he's not real. Kabiris isn't real. That would be hard to accept. You have been told that someone will keep you safe and happy in your time of need, and that someone just doesn't come through for you. And I believe something similar can happen to us today if we're not careful. How many times have we been told or convinced ourselves that this will make us happy or that will? Oh, if I just have this much money or that job or that other experience in life, then I'll be happy or satisfied. Or maybe it's, oh man, when the government figures it out, then I can rest peacefully, right? Then I can be happy. Then I can have peace. And then maybe they actually happen, and then it doesn't actually satisfy him. Maybe the government does fix itself, or somehow, but maybe it does get righted, and it does go along with God's word, but then we're like, well, like, people's lives still need Jesus. It doesn't change the fact that people have to accept Christ through faith. They don't actually satisfy, just like that god Kabiris back in their day, it didn't satisfy. He never came through for them. Now, I can focus on different things in my life that won't come through for me. They won't give me lasting peace that I want. The end of verse 9 says that they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There is no room in the Christian's life, in the Christian's melody, for a melody of idolatry. There is no room in the Christian life for the melody of idolatry. And if the melody of idolatry is in our lives, then how do we expect to be a resounding trumpet for God, to be sharing our faith, to be making that melody of faith, the melody of transformation that God gives to us? How do we expect to do that if we are making the melody of idolatry? The melody of transformation is a life-altering transformation, and it is also a consistent transformation. It's also a consistent transformation. The way the Thessalonians acted around Paul and outsiders, it was consistent. If we look back at the beginning of verse 9, so no, we're sort of going backwards here, but oh well. Beginning of verse 9, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. We see that they were consistent in their transformation. Thessalonica gave off the same vibes both in person and by report card. It was the same. They were hearing the same thing, which is good. That's what we should be going for as well. Everyone that met a Thessalonian believer would see the melody of faith in Christ being lived out and the melody of transformation because of Christ being lived out in their lives. So what is that item of idolatry that has maybe crept into your life? And I'm checking myself right along with you guys. What is that item of idolatry that's crept into your life? Maybe it's clothing, vehicle, family, sports, popularity, laziness, lustful desires. Ask yourself, am I going to be making a melody of idolatry in my life? Or am I going to allow Jesus to work that transformation in my life, to make my life a melody of transformation? Believers are called to be resounding trumpets. The melody of faith is of utmost importance because from it flow both this melody of transformation, and as we look on, we're going to see the melody of hope. All of this stems from this melody of faith that we as believers were supposed to be making. We're supposed to be noticed by those around us. And like I said, it's not because of who we are, but it's about who's working in us. He has great power. He has great power in his working. The third melody that believers should be making is the melody of hope. Among many, there are many things that we should be doing as believers, but here in this passage, this is what we see. The melody of hope. Let's look ahead at verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And we looked at last week that living hope. Well, we're reminded of it again here. He is risen from the dead. That middle of the verse, it says, whom he raised from the dead. We serve a living God. We have a living hope. He is risen from the dead. The melody of hope should be a part of the Christian's resounding life. The hope we have is in a risen Savior. We have a living hope. We have a living hope. We have a divine hope. We have a divine hope. That verse 10, the beginning of it, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And I was reminded this week in John 10:30, Jesus claims this very clearly, that he is God. He says in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Can't get much clearer than that, right? I and the Father are one. So you can remember that, John 10:30, if people are saying, hey, Jesus was not God, he wasn't God. But no, John 10:30, you can remember that reference. This is what Jesus says he was. I and the Father are one. We have a divine hope. We are waiting on one who is divine. We have mentioned some of those things that we could be making, idols in our lives, friends, family, feelings, money, things. What kind of lasting hope comes from those things? I know in my super long life of 22 years, I've experienced everything there is to know. No, not at all. Not at all, guys. But the things that I have experienced, I know that those things do not bring lasting peace, lasting happiness, lasting joy. I know that even from the few things I have experienced. Praise God that we have a living, divine hope. And I pray that verse 10 comforts you in knowing, okay, who are you having hope in? Who are you waiting in? You're waiting on Jesus to come, and he is coming to deliver as well. Our Savior is speaking on our account at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 7:25, it says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We have a living, we have a divine hope. We have, when we are feeling guilty and when Satan is accusing us before God, as we remember he does in Job 1, right? He's saying, oh, Job's just following you because you're giving him good things. That's the only reason. That's what Satan was saying to God there in Job 1. He's only following you because he's getting the goodies. He has a happy life right now. That's what Satan was saying. Well, Christ is there to defend us, and we see that in Hebrews 7:25. And this is a comfort. This is a comfort of having a living hope. And as I've sort of, like I mentioned last week, we've been going through like cults and world religions and studying how they are not the same as Christianity. And in my studies, it was interesting to see their different founders or leaders. None of them claim to be living today. They're all gone. They're dead. But we have a hope, and we know that our Jesus has risen from the grave. And while we know, like, I can't see my Savior in the flesh right now, but we can be encouraged in seeing him work in those little ways around us. We see him working in amazing ways. I have the comfort of a living hope, and we can all have that comfort of a living hope. Look at the small things in life he does for you, and that's what we're remembering in this month, right? The entire month. We should just have a Thanksgiving year, right? We're not forgetting to be thankful to God for the blessings in our life. food, shelter, clothing, all those little things that he'll provide for us. And if he's not providing those things, well, we know he's growing us through that. He's growing our reliance on him. And we take a step back and we look at that biggest thing that he gives us in our salvation. He gives us a hope of deliverance, and we are reminded of that at the end of verse 10. Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We have a hope of deliverance. We should be resounding the melody of hope. Our divine, living hope, Jesus, is going to deliver us from the wrath to come. And this is talking big picture, right? Eternity picture. We can't expect every little thing to go right in life because we sin, because the world is full of sin. That's how the world goes. And we looked last week, God will allow trials in our life to grow us as well. But we know that in the end, when all is said and done, and we are standing before God, we will be delivered from ultimate, final, eternal destruction. Jesus, who saves us from the wrath to come. If you have a melody of faith in Christ, then you will be delivered from that wrath. Have the melody of hope resounding in our life. It's a joy to realize what Jesus has done for us and to know, okay, his grace is sufficient for me. We have a divine, living, delivering Savior. That's who our hope is in, and we must broadcast that truth into our community and to everyone we come into contact with. Believers are called to be resounding trumpets by making the melody of faith an imitated faith, following Jesus and what he's done, following others that have come before us that have walked with Jesus. It's an imitated faith, an exemplary faith, one that others can look at and say, okay, I want to be more like that, not because of who we are, but because of who is living in us. And the Thessalonians, we remember that they receive the gospel with joy amidst affliction. And we can be sure that affliction will come. And people won't like necessarily what we have to say all the time because it hurts. It sort of gets to their heart because they see, okay, you're telling me something I'm doing is wrong. Well, no, it's not what I say. It's what God's word says. You're not offending me. You're offending God, the God of the universe. This is what he says is right. What he says is wrong. So we know affliction will come. People aren't always going to like what we say, but we're still called to make that melody of faith. Believers are called to be resounding trumpets by making the melody of transformation, a life-altering transformation. How the Thessalonians, they turn to God from idols to serve the living, true God. And that transformation is empowered by God, leaving worthless idols, unliving idols to serve the living God. And we are called to be resounding the melody of hope. Hope in our divine, our living Savior, our deliverer from the wrath to come. And if we don't have faith, then we won't experience that transformation that God wants to give to us. We won't experience that living hope that as believers we can have. And I want to remind us and remind myself, like, we cannot get discouraged if the melody of our life is quiet. We cannot get discouraged by that. Don't get discouraged if you have pinpointed that idol in your life and you're like, wow, I am making that melody of idolatry and not the melody of transformation. Recognize that your hope is in Christ, not in the volume of your melody. So when things are going wrong, when we sin against God, yes, we need to make things right, but recognize your hope is not in the volume of your melody, but it is in Christ. It is in Christ. Now, that being said, do not be satisfied with a weak melody. Do not be satisfied if you know, hey, I'm not being very loud in my community. I'm not shining as God would want me to. Don't be satisfied with a weak melody of faith, transformation, or hope. Take those practical steps to be an example in your faith. Be praying for those opportunities. Be taking those opportunities when they come to share truth with those around you. Cast off idols with God's help and turn to the living God, the one who is our Savior, Jesus, divine, living, interceding, rescuing us from the wrath to come. That's who our Jesus is. That's who we're serving. That's why we can have joy, because of the awesome God we serve. Believers are called to be a resounding trumpet in Callaway, in Arnold, in Broken Bow, wherever you're at, in Oconto, wherever you are. I want to leave you with this quote, and this is something, one of my grandpa's favorite quotes from the last year of his life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only the melody we make for our Lord has eternal value. Only what we do for Jesus matters for eternity. We don't want to waste our time, get to heaven, and regret the life we lived. No. Let your life resound for Christ through your faith, God-given transformation, and through your hope. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, I just praise you for bringing us here this morning, for encouraging us through fellowship, for encouraging me through your word and the truths we find there. Lord, we thank you for your great grace, that your grace is sufficient for us even when our melody isn't loud. Lord, you've got us. You're bringing us through it. Lord, you want to grow us. You don't want to leave us where we're at. You want us to continue to grow closer to you. Thank you for the hope we have in your son, Jesus. Lord, help us to be more like him this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, go eat.